Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday. What is it? August 17th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And of course, Michael Kelly is here too, a little bit under the weather, so he's just going to stay behind the scenes tonight. But we appreciate everybody's time and joining us tonight, either on the live program or on the archives. Good to have you here. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And in addition to this weekly service, we also have several other educational programs, including EmpowerRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and families of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, which is an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, our flagship school that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and several other areas. And then Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org, which offers standalone metaphysical courses, diplomas, and degrees. As is customary, I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief. These are from our main website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. These 9 principles are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And, of course, we have also have our list of sacred obligations. There's 5. There are many sacred obligations, but the 5 primary ones are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, reclaim your power. 3, attune your life leadership paragon. 4, pay it forward. And 5, deliver your greatness. One of the big things that we do as metaphysical humanists is to pay it forward, doing the right thing, doing no harm, and so that's the work that we do on a day-to-day basis. Now tonight, it's good to see so many in the chat room, by the way. We welcome all of you. Tonight we're going to talk about some different things, some paranormal news, and or not paranormal, metaphysical. It could be paranormal from week to week, but we're going to add this feature to our broadcast. Some interesting stuff going on out there. And in this vein, we're working on a metaphysical news website that will be available here in the coming week or two. And it will be an aggregate site. It will feature stories, news stories from different sources around the web. And we're going to compile those and add them, and I'll, of course, announce the domain address, the URL, when it's ready to go, when it's up and going. But I did have an epiphany today, Dr. Hunter.
You're frightening me. Be careful.
Well, you know, I founded this church and the schools 6 years ago, a little over 6 years ago. Of course, you've been here for 5 of those 6 years. back in 2010. And, you know, based on, you know, it's founded on great principles, healthy principles that people can read, by the way, more of them at metaphysicalhumanism.org. I don't think I mentioned that again. But, you know, I've created this healthy spiritual philosophy, empower the human spirit, empower people, build people up. And, you know, you'd think that the whole world would be flocking to here to benefit from it. Of course, we have a lot of people who do, but not the whole world. And I finally figured out today what it is that I'm doing wrong. Okay. I've gone about this whole thing the wrong way.
Uh-oh.
I failed to configure things as a reality TV show. I'm learning from the political stuff going on here in the U.S.
You've been trespassing in Trump territory. Don't go there.
Yeah, it's got to be a reality TV show. Otherwise, you know, you can't take your eyes off it, right? Everybody knows it's just BS, but, you know, you got to still watch what they're going to do next. What are they going to say next? So I'm gonna start that right here and right now. Okay, I'm going to start being a reality TV dude, and I'm going to say some outlandish things, all right? You guys ready for this? You better brace yourself because you're not going to believe it, all right? I'm going to do it. It's got to happen. It's going to happen. Here it goes, okay? First thing I'm going to say that's outlandish. You people out there, you're perfect just the way you are. You can be better tomorrow than you were yesterday. And what's more is you're entitled to all the same good stuff in life as anyone else, no more, no less. Same as anyone else. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what sexual orientation you are. You can have it all, and you deserve that. These are your inalienable rights, human rights. Nothing wrong with you. And I'm going to say another outlandish thing. The whole concept of sin, throw it away. There is no such thing. It's baloney. Nobody's a sinner. These are pretty braden. Braden. What's the word I want? They're outlandish. You know, so, yes, you're going to hear me saying some pretty outlandish things and some things that get people wondering, what's he going to say next?
You even put a little bit of an accent in there.
Yeah, brazen. That's the word I was looking for, brazen. Brazen things. That's what I'm going to be talking about. Brazen things. Things, thanks to Dr. Tarlene, so she was dialed in here. She knows what, yeah, so was Michael. Yeah, everybody thought of it except me, and I'm the one. Who was talking? Zach's just brash. Yeah, that too. So you're going to hear me say some of this stuff. So just be prepared. You're never going to know what's going to come out of my mouth next. You perfect people, you. You know, I just can't believe we need to tear down all the walls around this world and be united. There you go.
Phew. Right. That was a big epiphany.
I know. Tough to take, right? All right, so Dr. Hunter.
Well, you know
the story.
I do. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about metaphysical news tonight and a couple of stories that have come to mind, and I think you got a couple yourself, but I'd like to start this out with, I'm a little fascinated with crop circles myself. I like to follow some of this, and primarily because where I lived in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, nearby at a little place called Duhamel, near Camrose, if anybody's interested to look it up, was the first recorded crop circle in Canada in 1967. And I happened to talk to some folks who were there during that time, and it's always fascinated me. You know, there's this alien, you know, ship corridor and blah, blah, blah. So it's fascinating. So I came across a story here that I thought, you know, well, what do you believe? A crop circle showed up about 19 miles, whether they say, southwest of Stonehenge on August 12th. So just a few days ago. This is the most intricate design I have ever seen in a circular, big circle, and all the stuff in it. You know, so around the inner edge of the circle is all these coatings, you know, these really neat kind of glyphs. And in the center is these three leaves that are primary, then another. So there's six leaves kind of all together. And it's a very intricate design that everybody claims showed up overnight. Of course, they all show up overnight. Now, what's fascinating about this story is that there is a glass company called Mothership Glass that incorporated and got to work in, I think it was 2012. And they used the exact same glyphs or likenesses of these glyphs and the pattern of the inner leaves and the circle as this crop circle that showed up. Now, because their glassware is so intricate and it's really expensive and nobody knows really how they do it, they've asked them, what is it? And they've always claimed that it is extraterrestrial designs of geometric patterns and any alien stuff. They literally say, it's from the aliens. So lo and behold, people are putting this together pretty quickly that this crop circle that showed up is such a reasonable facsimile of this company's logo, and how they've just recently changed some of their logo designs that showed up in this thing. But here's the question. How does anybody get that intricate of a design patterned into this crop circle that is massive? And I'm just reading on this one particular link. It's got a 20-symbol perimeter, but it's 350 feet across. Now, that's huge. Well, that's a big crop circle. And so it's just an interesting story that what do you believe nowadays? When I think back to 1967, did we have the technology and so forth? Maybe, but not common, you know, to make such things as crop circles. And crop circles now, we can't really know. Could a drone do it? Can a drone or many drones be computerized to set in a pattern like that? It's entirely possible. So I think that here's my issue with crop circles now is you almost can't believe any of it. And that's really a shame in a way. But nonetheless, people will flock to this little town. They think it's called Anstey in the United Kingdom, and they'll pay their money to go and see this crop circle. So if one of the links, there's, of course, it's all over the internet right now, many, many different places, but the story that I found to be most condensed with the glass, the Mothership Glass Company, is earthfiles.com, if anybody is interested to go there. So, because this Mothership Glass is actually in Bellingham, Washington, of all places, but the crop circle shows up in the United Kingdom. It's really quite fascinating. It's a beautiful crop design too. So
yeah,
that's my
some
story.
Really cool looking crop circles out there, and
there are, yeah.
You know, and it's just like anything else in the paranormal field. I mean, there's certain elements of it that get you thinking. Yeah, you know, that's kind of compelling. That could be, and then there are other aspects of it that, you know, no way, that's just not real. And that's why I always say that the two basic common denominators among anomalous phenomena are fear and confusion. You know, there's certain people that makes them afraid. They're afraid of it. And then there are other people, like researchers, who are not really afraid of it, but they're confused by it, because you can have one, you know, you have two stories that both seem compelling, but they contradict each other. It's fear and confusion. If I didn't know better, I'd say somebody was out to, you know, do it. But that's a whole conspiracy thing. I ain't going to get into it. All right. But I will get into a story that I did post on One PC, One Planet Community, which is for our students and members, of course. And if you're not a member of OnePlanetCommunity.com, you should go and register. You know, as long as you're a church member or a student, you can register. It's our private Facebook-like network. And this one is about a 400-year-old shark. The title of the article, 400-year-old shark is the oldest living creature on Earth. And it's an interesting thing, the Greenland shark. And they aged this one female specimen to 400 years. There was a couple of others, I think they were male. They were a couple hundred years old. In fact, it says that they estimate that the females don't reach reproductive maturity until about 150 years. I mean, can you imagine that? That's
I can hope for that.
Well, it's interesting. There's these animals that live so long, you know, and there's a clam species that have lived for, it says, 507 years.
Called planned parenting.
Yeah, very much planned. There's a bowhead well. They dated it to 211 years old. Of course, then there's the turtles, the tortoises, you know, the big ones. that can live well over 20 years. All other animals, let's see, oh, the last one here is the longest living mammal. Any ideas? You don't have to answer that, but just throwing it out there. You'd be surprised. The oldest living mammal are human beings. That's interesting, isn't it? Human beings known to live for more than 100 years. That's the oldest living mammal, they say. So it's an interesting story because it shows you what's out there. I mean, can you imagine 400-year-old shark, not even having babies till you're 150? And, you know, what's that like? And then it, of course, that opens up a lot of existential questions like, okay, then why are we dying so young? Of course, you know, any time you die, it's young. You're too young to die, no matter how old you are. But it's just interesting why the case. I don't have the answers to it. If I didn't know better, and I'm not sure I don't, I'd say somebody, you know, turn that switch in their DNA on or, you know, set that. And because, you know, scientists don't really know why we die, why cells just break down. Of course, probably could link it back to entropy, but that doesn't make sense because other creatures live a lot longer. I mean, trees, they can live thousands of years. So that's my news story. You have another one too, don't you, Dr. Hunter?
Could this also be a case where somebody could mistake a shark like that? Because I understand the skin of that shark is quite extraordinary. Well, they could think of it as a cryptoid of some kind or, you know, some kind of extraordinary.
Well, it's not a cryptid because it's discovered. Cryptids are animals that are not scientifically described, as they call it.
So if there's something extraordinary out there, once it's discovered and it's compartmentalized, it's no longer a cryptid? Is that how
correct.
It goes?
Correct. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's a known creature. You know, it's been scientifically described. That's the terminology that's used.
You know, I'd like just to really quickly insert here, anybody who'd like a card tonight, we will be drawing some cards, and we're happy to find some interesting stuff to tell you. But what I would like to add in here tonight, you know, because as we're getting kind of familiar with our little news stories and trying to bring them up, it's a full moon tonight. So that's one thing that nothing to do with big metaphysical news except a full moon. This particular full moon is when everything is ripening. You know, that's why very often it's called a blueberry moon, a wheat cut moon, you know, when also by the Farmer's Almanac, it would be the sturgeon moon. And that actually came from the Great Lakes because that's when they knew that the sturgeon were most readily caught, interestingly enough. But this is, next month would be the harvest moon. So this August full moon is ripening. Then we have harvest, and, you know, and let's see, by October is harvest moon. It's a very in kind of a culmination of energy to get the waxing and the waning of the moon. So even though it does hit a peak of time, and I think tomorrow morning at 5:26 a.m. Eastern time, so my time, that would be 2 in the morning, 2:30, there's still the energy before. And I always say, as living like a pagan with pagan customs, it's like a 3-day phase of the moon where you build up to it, it peaks, and then it's the winding down. But right now we are culminating into that full moon by moments now, hours away. And I always say it's a really good time to check in with yourself. You know, it's just like check in with nature, check in with the universe, check in with who you are. And things do intensify, as we all know. I talk to police or hospital workers. They're the busiest during a full moon. But I find it really exciting to be, you know, introspective and calm and connected. So I just wanted to throw that in for tonight. Anybody who's interested, just light some sweet grass or your sage, burn a candle. You know, send out some good energy to the universe and keep a little for yourself.
Yeah, good advice. Well, The other story I'm going to talk about, and let me preface it with this. When we talk about metaphysical news, well, if you're obviously one of our students, you know it's metaphysical is the study of consciousness and existence, about everything there. And that's going to be one of the highlights of this metaphysical news site that we're doing up here. It's going to have all kinds of different things that pertain to consciousness and existence. That includes personal and spiritual growth. It includes relationship issues. It includes the paranormal, UFOs, cryptozoology, crop circles, all of it. It includes everything you can imagine. That's metaphysical. It's about life. It's about existence. And so this story that I want to talk about here is a touching story. Maybe you saw it. I did post it on oneplanetcommunity.com as well. But it was touching, and it's the headline is this: police find lonely elderly couple crying, make them spaghetti. And this is in Rome. Four policemen were called to an apartment. Somebody reported hearing crying and shouting, I guess. But no crime had been committed. They found an 84-year-old, looks like Jolie, and her husband, 94-year-old husband, Michelle.
But no crime.
Alone in their home, the elderly couples were the ones crying, not because they were in any physical peril, but because they were suffering from, quote, incurable loneliness, unquote. Another reason they were crying, as the article says, is due to the ghastly headlines in the news recently. So what's touching about this story? Obviously, it's a bit sad, but it's also got a happy ending because these policemen made them a spaghetti dinner and spent a little time with them. You see, when we talk about doing no harm and doing right, that's what we're talking about. When we talk about paying it forward, that's what we're talking about. You know, these poor people, I mean, they're very old. And, I mean, you look at the news, and if you watch it too much, you can get all, you know, you can get afraid of it. You can become fearful. We've talked about that in recent shows or programs in the last few weeks. You know, I mean, the political situation in the U.S. got a lot of people afraid. I think the fear is probably waning now because the person causing most of it is basically digging his own grave. But, you know, there's a lot to be afraid of. I mean, there's the terror stuff, but gosh, it's been that way all my life. You know, you watch the news, there's always something to be afraid about. And here are these poor people, they don't know what to make of it, but they needed human touch. And they got it. And so, how can we emulate that with people? And I know from stories that students have recounted in their assignments and so forth that they're doing this sort of thing. But that's always a good reminder for all of us. If we see an opportunity to pay it forward, to help somebody with an encouraging word or to do something nice like this, we should seize that opportunity because we're making an investment not only in them but in ourselves, and we're making an investment in the universe. We're making an investment in our own evolution and that of humanity. That's what we need. We need more people doing no harm, doing right, rather than spewing forth hate-filled racist BS that happens so often. And I have to wonder where these people are who rant this stuff, who talk about racist things and you know, hurt gay folks and transgenders and you know, they're like I've said so many times, there's such a lack of awareness in this world. You know, most people don't lay awake at night scheming how they can hurt another person. They end up hurting people just due to thoughtlessness, due to lack of awareness of, and respect or empathy for other people's plight and their own and too. But there's so many folks out there that spend so much time hurting others. I mean, you take the neo-Nazis, you take the KKK, you take, you know, those folks, you know, who insist on that the Confederate flag is something, you know, something to be revered or something to be honored. I mean, it's only slightly less objectionable than the Nazi flag. And that's a shame, too, because the swastika as a symbol that's been around for thousands of years. And Hitler just bastardized it. I mean, he took it. And now it's taken on a whole new meaning, thanks to him, when it shouldn't. But it's still used. But the point I'm trying to make is these people are, you know, the militias and the people who are worried about the end of the world or the end of the U.S. government, you know, the American government. And there's a story in the headlines about some white gal who's telling her African-American neighbors they should have never left Africa. Well, you know, maybe she should have never left Europe. You know, some of these white folks around here and racists think that somehow this is their country. Well, you know, we came from Europe. The people that were here were Native Americans, you know. I'm not even going to get into that because I don't get Dr. Hunter going on that one. But that's the point is that we need to stop the hurting. And this goes to everybody. And of course, the problem with this is I'm preaching to the choir. The folks that tune into this program, they're right on board. They understand that. This needs to reach other people, the people who are doing the harm and who are somehow think they're better because they have white skin instead of black skin, and racism goes either way. You know, we have to stop it. We got to stop this. We have to just accept people. It doesn't matter what color they are, how tall, wide, thin, short, what color they are, what color their eyes are, what color their hair is. It doesn't matter. We have to just be tolerant and accept people for who they are. And if we can't accept them for who they are, fine, then you're not in a relationship with them. But we don't resort to racism or bigotry or misogyny, you know, for the genders. We don't do that. So anyway, I'm going to quit ranting on this now. But the point of that story was that here's a couple that really needed human touch, and they got it. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on about cops, but, you know, cops do good things, too. We have to remember that. All right, so does anybody want a card pulled? Have we gotten any takers on this, or are we just going to
start? Well, I see Bridget in there first. Bridget, I have my cards fanned out across on my desk in front of me. I'm choosing one. And this one is number 44 of the Inner Oracle Life Discovery Cards. Number 44 is attitude and disposition. And just keep in mind that, you know, sometimes these are just little reminders. That's all. Just a little reminder that, okay, check in with myself. This reads, enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be a positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen. You know, that just kind of reminds me every now and again, I need a little attitudinal myself. Throw the little accent in there, you know. It's whether it's about someone in particular who, like, rubs me the wrong way occasionally, or something that kind of comes up. And I think that we all do need to have that little reminder to check in. So if that resonates with you too today, Bridget, yeah, it's always good we check in. So the next, as I see, is Tabitha. Now, you have to, Dr. Kelly and Michael have to keep me in line here as I'm multitasking. But
I'm seeing Tabby and Dr. Dan. If I'm reading that right, I think, yeah.
Perfect. Deliberate intent is for you, Tabitha, number 20. A powerful message in this particular card. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires a little effort to focus on what you want, not on what you don't have, of course. Release and have patience. So that's what we have to do. It's just focus on what you want, let it go, and it's on its way. So deliberate intent for you, Tabitha. Okay, Dr. Dan. Good to see you here, Dan. It's always Dr. Dan has recently moved to Florida, in your neck of the woods there, Dr. Kelly, down south, I believe. And it seems appropriate that we would pull number 17, reinvention, for Dr. Dan, with all the changes you've been going through. And it reads this: nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented? I think that's a pretty powerful message for you right now. It's exciting. I know that aside from your many, you know, jobs that you do, you're looking at establishing a new business down there, and I think this is really appropriate. It's, you know, checking in and away you go. So congratulations on that one. Okay, is there anyone else?
Duffy. It's the last one, I believe.
Duffy. Welcome to our program, Duffy. I have for you past, present, and future, which is number 4 in the Life Leadership Paragon suit. So let me just grab this. And it reads like this. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are: you're accountable for your past, present, and future. Number 2 is, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. And number 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor. You know, sometimes it's really hard to not want to do for other people when they could and should do it for themselves. It, just think of the word enabling in a way. I think that's a common mind. It doesn't mean we aren't helpful, as we've talked about through all the program. We want to help out. But as long as it's not in a way that we lose ourselves, or we're taking, you know, the gift of learning from somebody else, and of course, vice versa. So that's always a good little reminder of, you know, just checking in with ourselves, looking at our boundaries, and moving forward again with some new energy. Is there anyone else? Dr. Kelly, did I miss anyone?
I didn't see anybody. If anybody wants a card pulled and you haven't said, or you did and we haven't done it, be sure to put it in the chat room there.
You know, so, if I may, on this full moon, I know that there are a few people in our chat room who are going through some difficult times and challenging times, and sometimes you got to put one foot in front of the other to get some new energy happening. I would like to take a shout out for Zach Frame, and he has a new blog going, and I did actually post that link up here. Zach has a very interesting life, a young man who's also a teacher. He's, you know, working on life coaching. He does a lot of stuff. And he also is dealing with MS. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's multiple sclerosis. He's been dealing with it for just over the last 10 years. And so Zach's an extraordinary young guy. You know, he is lighthearted and he's got humor and he takes on challenges like nobody I've ever met and seen. And I'm very lucky to have conversations with him once in a while. So I am looking for, right now, where this link is, I might be able to say it over the air. And I see that I've lost it. But
Zach, put it in the chat room if you would.
Yeah, he actually may not be on his computer. Sometimes he's on his phone and he's just listening. And I will try to find that here before we sign off. And because I, you know, for all the... we're always trying to be uplifting and we want to help everybody. Sometimes there are just these notable things that we have to give a shout out to, you know, when somebody's turning a corner and doing some pretty extraordinary stuff, you know, kudos to you, and we want to give you all the support that we possibly can. And that's what this is. So I have it here, ZachNFrame@wixsite.com, the Optimus /blog. So ZachNFrame at...
.. ZachNFrame.wix, W-I-X-S-I-T-E .com / the Optimus /blog.
Thank you for that. Thank you for...
All right.
Me there.
So Fran would like a card.
Hi, Fran. Nice to see you again. Energy signature is yours, number 26. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe of a person, puts out, or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what's healthy, remove what's unhealthy, and remember that you can't change others. You can only change yourself. That's a good one. You know, we all have to check in for the for energy signatures, and that is. And just a little reminder there for you.
And just to add to that, you know, one of the ways we can change, I mean, the primary way we change our energy signature is through education and self-belief.
Yeah.
And when we change our opinions of ourself, you know. So one of the ways we can do that is to have a lighter energy, is to, you know, put a smile on our face, to look for the good in others as we go about our day. When we're driving, you know, sometimes we can get real frustrated with drivers, and maybe we should look for the good drivers as well. Michael tells me I'm cutting out a little bit, so we're going to start wrapping things up here anyway. But, you know, try some of those things. You know, keep your energy light. Look for the good in people. Don't focus on the bad. Understand we're all trying to do the best we can with the knowledge, resources, experience, and level of awareness that we have at the moment. And then we'll lighten that energy a little bit, and it will be much better for us to do that. So we're going to start wrapping up tonight. We've talked about some metaphysical news. We talked about attitude and disposition, deliberate intent, reinventing ourselves, personal responsibility, and energy signatures, and the other stuff all in between. So we, you know, more good discussion. And again, I will put this out there, that if anybody has an issue or a question or something you'd like considered on the air here, we'd be happy to do that. We don't need to use your name or anything. Keep it private. Unless you'd let us, if we do use a name, it'll just be a first name. And so if you have that, as a question like that you just like considered, then send it to me, admin@icmhchurch.org. If you're a student, you can use the usual email addresses for us. It all comes here, so...
And let us know what you're doing. Toot your own horn.
We'll
help you do it. You know, so please, you know, we're doing our best to stay on top of it, and we really want to support you in all the positive changes that you're making. And you're having a hard time, we're here for support, too. So,
you know, if you've done something, if you've paid it forward in some way, you know, let us know. We'd like those stories because it encourages people. It's uplifting. So let us know if you've done that.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks to everyone for tuning in to this live program. Thanks for those listening to the archives. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.